ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
If only the Republicans had had a go-to meeting, they could have avoided some of the stumbles out of the gate they've had thus far. Tea and then a he. Go-to meeting, the best way to host an online meeting. You know it. My listeners can try Go-to meeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie, won't you? StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the Friday party. Did I say Friday? Did I say party?
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugleson.
City's on fire.
Happy New Year, children.
Are you enjoying the snow and the garbage and the rats?
And the snow and the rats the size of small dogs. It all misses you, Steph.
Oh, do I miss me some New York. Good morning, John Fuglesang.
It's the slushpocalypse. Be here. Good morning, kids.
John Fuglesang live from the New York Bureau, peeking between bags of garbage. I was reading my LA Times yesterday.
Don't mock where I sleep.
I know. Last year, of course, this time I was in New York, and this would have been the latest adventure. Yeah. They've not done garbage pickups, so now there's giant rats.
But you know what? New York is in the Northeast. It snows there. Why is this a surprise to
my
anybody?
My favorite interviews were the doorman, John, over on Riverside. I lived on the Upper West Side when I was there, and they were like,
I talked to you up a ledge many times, I remember.
Rats are coming out of the Hudson now to get the garbage, and if they start getting hit by cars, then the hawks are going to come in and get the rats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is the final apocalypse, isn't it?
No, it's the circle of life. It's our own particular ecosystem. We got really big rats in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They hop the ferry to Port Jeff and come into Manhattan. It's a beautiful thing. And I remember when you lived here, I was talking you off a ledge every Friday. And you lived in the third floor, so it was awkward.
Yes, exactly. You're like, listen, you're only going to break your foot. Oh, now see, you did it. All right, John Fuglesang, we haven't talked since the holidays.
It's been a long time, I know. I've just been sitting around thinking up ways to make fun of Boehner's tan even more. My life's been so incomplete. But it's great to hear you again, and it's been a very, very I was actually snowed out of New York. That was the worst thing. It's one thing to be snowed into New York. It's all pretty and clean, and you don't hear anything. I was trapped in Florida for an extra 6 days.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I was snowed out, and I'm not saying I live in a rednecky part of Florida, but where mom is, but my goodness, there's a bowling alley you can walk in an only child and walk out married to your own sister.
Hey!
And it was very, very tough getting back to the city, but it's great to be here, and we miss you guys, and I'll be moving back to L.A. as soon as humanly possible.
Yay!
Yay!
We love L.A. We love it.
L.A. misses you.
Century Boulevard.
LA.
We love it.
I do. But it's great. Come on. It's great here in New York. You got the Spider-Man musical where you can get killed sitting in the front row.
Yes.
It's so much excitement.
Great.
Awesome.
Wow.
What happened? I missed it.
Oh, like people are dropping out of that left and right because they're getting injured.
Yeah. Oh, the actors.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
actors.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. Mm. But Julie Taymor's a genius, and I'm sure it'll be very fine. Who knows?
Well, she did do The Lion King, which was an incredible show. Love that show. But,
But
all
yes. You're not missing much. It's snowing again today, and but it's just all slushy and blah.
We had our own, climate disturbance. Did we have that, Chris? It was raining in my house all over the holidays. We had a little bit
of
rain, and Mom's having some leakage problems.
Again, yes.
Again.
Oh, dear.
All right, so let's talk about the new Republican Congress. Oh, my. Lions and tigers and birthers, oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
We broke some news here yesterday, John. We had Representative Frank Pallone on, and he told us this happened. He told right after this happened. So he was reading his little section of the Constitution, and you see the birther woman? She goes, accept Obama! Because I love you, Jesus! My name's Teresa! Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome, and then she was quickly hustled out by Capitol Police.
Yeah, it's great you gave Jesus a shout-out. Jesus is like, I don't know that creepy bitch.
Jesus is like, oh, no, birthers.
I don't know you, lady. Yeah, the birthers.
I've had some embarrassing people claim me, but oh, jeez.
Yeah, and Boehner, like, you know, he goes right on Brian Williams, and he says, well, I know that Obama's a citizen. I'm satisfied that he's a citizen, but I'm not going to force my beliefs on my own followers.
Right, are you going to control your crazies? No.
I'm not going to drag them unwillingly out of the pit of their own ignorance. What kind of a man would I be?
Clearly, I'm not going to control my crazies.
I found out something over the break.
What's that?
They hate being called birthers. Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, God, they hate
just
you.
Like teabaggers? Hate
yes.
being called teabaggers.
Exactly.
Even though they call themselves teabaggers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They hate
now
them.
We're perverts for calling them teabaggers.
That's right.
I had that fight myself, and I said, but you guys call yourself teabaggers first. They said, teabaggers is homophobic. I'm like, no, it's homoerotic. Accept the compliment.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
But they find the word teabagger hard to swallow.
By the way, teabagging, not just for the gays.
No.
No, it's also
it's for
straight
breakfast.
Men and spectacular women.
Exactly.
Like Stephanie.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh?
What?
Gulp.
Most things you have to... Most things you have, being an ex-Catholic girl, you have to show me on the internet. And then
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that. I've done that.
Oh,
that's how I passed eighth grade.
Oh, I didn't know that's what it was called.
Oh, that's what you do with the salad. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to explain that to you.
That kind of Sanchez. Okay.
Yeah, and the dirty Sanchez seems so dirty since Screech did it in his sex video. It's
yeah.
Yeah.
It
was so wholesome before.
All right, let's move off that topic
now. Let's go back
to
donkey punching with John Boehner. I do want to point out, John Boehner's not crying, okay? He's secreting Fanta. Can we get that straight? It just leaks out there.
See, our jokes that you missed have been that anyone that hugs him gets Cheeto fingers.
Oh, I heard about that one.
Yeah.
Like, how do I get this off? This
yeah,
orange
it's
powdery.
January, it's Washington, D.C., you're orange.
Yeah, it really is. And that's the thing, is you just keep thinking, oh, that's just a joke. And then there was a cover, the picture on the cover of the New York Times, John, it was really, you're like, oh, my God. And then he looked to be under some sort of orange lighting as well, which was not a good choice.
Yeah, but you can put him and Snooki in the new season of Jersey Shore side by side, and Boehner's just one shade away from her Chernobyl char, you know? He's like that close. He's almost radiation sickness. Nobody in D.C. has skin like that right now.
First of all, let me give you more details on the birther. So Frank Pallone, Democrat in New Jersey, whom we know, and it was on this show directly after this happened.
Yeah.
He was reading part of the Article 2, Section 1, mandating a natural-born citizen maybe president. The woman seated in the front, she got a front row seat.
That's right.
See? This is your new Republican Congress. Mm. She screamed, accept Obama! Accept Obama! Help us, Jesus! And then the officer removed her, and she said, my name is Teresa! Which I loved, because I just love that old song. It reminds me of, I'm not Lisa.
What?
My name is Teresa. You don't know I'm not Lisa?
No.
I don't know
John,
either. Sorry.
Really?
I don't really go for the turn
song.
Of the century. Oh, 70s.
Yeah.
1970s, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I... sorry.
Bastards. Okay.
What?
A lot of people know what I'm talking about.
Really?
It was a famous 70s song.
Lisa left you long ago. Sounds like a dreadful song.
Well, it's just because my voice is dreadful, but it's...
How did it sound coming out of the car radio of your Edsel?
In the rumble
seat. It was
a
red Dodge Dart with no shocks, I'll have you know, my first car. All right. All right. Wow, just the bad news keeps on coming for the Republicans. My goodness. Good news for America, bad news for Republicans. The unemployment rate dropped to 9.4%. Look, Boehner brought the jobs after only one day.
FoxNews.com says it's because the people have given up looking for jobs, and that's why the rate went down.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. Chris Lavoie likes to parrot right-wing talking points like that.
Well...
One of my naysaying moves. Charlie Pierce actually said of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, oh, well, it shouldn't have been that hard. Seriously.
Well, this decrease in the unemployment rate did come in December
when
a lot of retail stores hire temporary help.
Yeah, there's a lot of men dressing up in Santa suits in December,
well,
Steph.
Yes, I'm sure that accounts for the entirety of the 103,000 jobs.
No, it doesn't. I'm just saying that it happened during December when a lot of retail stores hire extra help.
Ah, right.
Okay.
And that means you hate freedom and you're really a Republican, Chris.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That means I'm spewing right when
everybody's screaming about Bill Daley already. Howard Dean is behind Bill Daley. It's just
that's because he hated Rahm Emanuel so much.
Yeah, but my point is that let's just sit and watch the Republicans fracture. Can't we bitches keep it together enough to look at what's happening? For God's sakes, the Tea Party is splintering, Republican Party because of the Tea Party already on the debt ceiling. Have you seen that, John?
Of course, no big shock. But Bill Daley
means Obama's
really serious about being reelected.
What's that?
Bill Daley is just a sign that he's really serious about being reelected, and it's going to be Clinton all over again. They're going to embrace Wall Street hardcore for the next 2 years and take it away from the GOP. It's done, kids. I can't wait to watch the meaningless Republican primaries. It's done. Trust me, Obama got reelected yesterday.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. You do, you know, John, you do recognize a lot of this from when Clinton was in. And I would say, on balance, we'd have to say Bill Clinton was a pretty successful president. But, I mean, look, there was a lot of this that happened then. You know, I remember a lot of liberals saying he's the best Republican president we've ever had, I guess, and blah, blah, blah. You know, so I get it.
And those were fair points, too. I mean, let's keep in mind, if you were really upset about unemployment, you can repeal NAFTA tomorrow and let's see what happens.
Yeah, and Bill Daley was instrumental in NAFTA. So that's one thing that I was like,
You know, I'm glad Summers is gone. I've got a lot of jokes about Summers, but they're kind of derivative.
See what he did there. You didn't even see that
coming. But again, this is Obama's giving liberals a lesson in the politics of compromise and how compromise is necessary in a free society. And we're never going to get utopia. He's never going to give y'all everything you want, but he is going to improve things without actually doing any major reforms. And, you know, he's Bill Daley's a brilliant example of that. He's going to get reelected. He's going to embrace Wall Street a lot more, and he'll be able to do more good in a second term because of it.
Yeah. Well, here's the
other
thing.
I've drunk your Kool-Aid, Steph.
Thank you. The other thing is we have, what's the word I'm looking for? Facts on our side.
Those things.
Look at the headline. That's unfortunate. Republican bid to scrap health care hits a snag. A snag known as facts and numbers.
Yeah.
So the CBO said that it actually would add $230 billion to the deficit by 2021 and result in 32 million fewer people having health insurance, which is exactly what we said when we passed the health care bill, you see. And that was
That's almost a third of what they're adding to the deficit by not repealing the Bush tax cuts. So that's a lot.
I mean, it's honestly, this is what we've been screaming about. And now I was going to say, like, now what are they going to say? Boner just says, the CBO is entitled to their opinion. Opinion? This is math.
Yeah.
This is, he said, when you look at it dollar by dollar, you can tell the numbers just don't add up. What? What? Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That means they don't like the CBO and the CBO doesn't agree with them.
Yeah, but the CBO, they're the referees in this game. They're the impartial referees.
Yes.
You know, if you don't like what the referee says, you're not allowed to kick the referee off the field.
Right, but if you don't like what the referee says, the referee's just got opinions. If you do like it, it's stone-cold facts. And this is making Boehner look silly, and this is good.
Yeah, it is. Literally, I mean, between the birther yelling out and them forgetting to swear in the two Republican congressmen who went ahead and voted,
they didn't forget. Those guys blew it off.
I'm telling you, this literally, John, out of the gate, it's like we tied their shoelaces together, and they're just,
The birthers are great, and we got to keep the birther movement alive to help Obama get reelected because it's so hilarious. You know, Obama and Rahm Emanuel were laughing their asses off in the Oval Office over these birthers all along. The birthers are like those Star Wars fans who are still defending Jar Jar Binks 11 years later, you know?
Yeah, you couldn't have planned this any better day one. You got a birther. I mean, you had to hear the sound of Republican heads just collapsing in their hands.
Face palm.
Oh, no.
Tea Party's going to realize about John Boehner. He's just not that into you.
19 minutes after the hour, right back as we continue Fridays with Fuglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is you're nuts.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Shall I open my veins now or later? I'm not
Lisa. Really? This was a hit?
My name is
it's Teresa.
This is a great song
Jesus.
For a romantic necrophiliac evening.
Shush. You bathe in it. Soak in it.
So is this about a guy who screams out the wrong name during
Probably.
Sex?
Some bastard. It's like every 70s song was about some bastard.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say it was good. I just said it was a song in the 70s.
Okay.
Joe in Jacksonville, Florida. You're soaking in it. Hi, Joe.
God. Oh, God, Stephanie. I was going to sing it to you, but you played it on the radio.
Go ahead. Sing it to me, baby. Sing it to me.
My name's not Lisa. My name is Judy.
Julie.
Lisa.
Oh, you got the second name wrong, too, you bastard.
No, with a guy singing it, it has a bit more edge. I like
it. Yes,
nice
it does.
Word.
I thought it was Judy.
It's Julie.
No, Julie.
Julie.
Julie. Oh,
yeah.
God.
See,
my
that's why you guys always
Shirley.
Get in trouble.
I'm not the only one who rides around with listening to bad music.
Oh, you listen to this now?
Oh, my God. I did listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you? I can sense you've done that before. You've yelled out the wrong name.
I probably have.
Yeah. Yeah. Confuse the women you're dating. Judy, you've always been the only one. My name is Julie.
I cry out my own name.
Probably remember the words to Billy, Don't Be a Hero, too.
Well, oh, I know that. That's a good song.
We've got that one. That's a classic bad song. That, you know what? We're going to be jumping off the Tallahatchie Bridge. I can tell.
Wow, I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know my name's not Lisa. I was a DJ on VH1. I was listening to every bad song in the world.
It was sung by Jesse Coulter, who was Waylon Jennings' wife.
Oh, wow.
I'm really embarrassed. No. Oh, the other one.
Right.
Well, this is a great bad song.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is total 70s AM radio.
We stumbled down the 70s music hole again.
Well, it's your afternoon delight.
Now you've mentioned Billy. Now, do you have Tallahatchie Bridge and Billy Joe McAllister? And that
what was the name of that song? The Ode to Billy Joe?
Yeah, what was that, John? Come on. Hey, VJ, what
Billy
was
Joe.
That?
Yeah. Ode to Billy Joe.
Okay.
Bill to Odie Joe.
Something like that.
See, I have it.
Oh, boy.
The only thing I didn't have was I'm Not Lisa. I had to go on YouTube to find that one.
Yeah,
you're welcome
to
the earworms.
I had to cross the River Styx to find that one. I was out chopping. This is what we call audience repellent.
Yeah.
It's like a spray. You know?
People screaming. Ah, earworms.
Take that, loyal ears.
Skedaddle, y'all. But I have entirely
Friday
too many
morning
listeners.
Just got longer.
Yeah. I have entirely too many listeners anyway. Von Seal in Asheville.
I'm sorry. I've just been laughing my head off.
Yes.
Y'all are playing my family record collection right now. Yes. I'm sorry to say.
Yep. No, your family was hipper than mine.
Well, number one, we were alive back then. That might have been helpful.
Yes.
And number two, that's just what we listen to.
Yep.
So you've covered all the bases for me. Waylon Jennings, who is a Texan and a great guy.
Well, he's awesome.
And a hero, that's right. So
yes.
Anyway.
Like Billy.
What can I say?
Yeah.
But he calls his wife Lisa.
Yes, yeah. He did. You know, if you play some laugh-in clips, it would be complete.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Bunce.
Thank you much.
Oh,
bye.
I'm sorry. I think that was a call for the Joanne Worley, which brings us all to our happy place. No need, John. We have...
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
We need to get a sound of glass shattering at the end of that.
Oh,
by the way, Ruth Buzzy's on Twitter now, if you all don't know.
Really?
Ruth Buzzy's on Twitter. She's hilarious. She has fewer followers than me, which is really wrong. And everyone should follow Ruth Buzzy after you
I'm
follow me.
I'm going to follow her immediately.
Yeah, she's really funny stuff, too.
And I will bring this magically full circle. Over the holidays, Lily Tomlin, for some reason, has a propensity to send me pictures of really cute baby animals. You know what? I got to see if I find them. We'll post them on Facebook.
Okay.
She and Jane Wagner sent me there's ridiculously cute pictures of baby koalas and a baby porcupine that are going around the internet that they are obsessed with for some reason.
Go to zooborns.com for a lot of those. It's wonderful. Oh. Z-O-O-B-O. Zooborns. It's all baby animals.
I ovulated and I lactated.
What?
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's two things in life that I'm sure of. There's no such thing as too much sun in it.
Stephanie Miller.
It's unbelievably satisfying.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, the Stephanie Miller Show needs to issue a rare apology.
Yes.
We apologize to both Lisa and Julie. The song was not about a guy yelling out the wrong name during sex. It was about a molestation.
Yes, about a girl who was molested and
she
got out of
her
house
name
and changed her name to get away from. Yes, so we apologize for the error.
To Lisa and
so
Julie.
Now it's
Stephanie
extra funny that we joked about it.
The Stephanie Miller Show regrets the error. But no one was listening anymore anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
We drove them all out with horrible 70s songs. Yeah,
Len Beck just got picked up again in New York.
We're just apologizing to ourselves. All right.
To the crickets.
All right. Okay, so the big news today, U.S. businesses stepped up hiring in December. The nation's unemployment rate has fallen to 9.4% from 9.8%, the lowest since May 2009. we added a net total of 103,000 jobs. By the way, just, you know, for math purposes, mm-hmm. as you recall, mm-hmm. we were losing 700,000 jobs a month when George Bush was in office.
Yes, and that's a number we have to repeat and repeat with numbing regularity.
Yes, as I do.
We must.
That's my job, mm-hmm. is repetition.
I'm numb right now. It's like I freebase Novocaine.
All right. So, yeah, that's bad
people,
news.
Yeah, well, but it's good. I mean, you know, again, Fox News is always already trying to minimize this little bit of good news by saying
yes,
that it's people who gave up looking for work. But, uh-huh. again, a lot of department store Santas got hired last month.
Yes. You know, that's the thing. That's why, John, I know you and I sometimes get into it, and we allow, obviously, every opinion. We love us some Charlie Pierce. We love us some John Fugelsang. We love us some mm-hmm. Hal Sparks. Everybody, you know, is entitled. But that's the thing. I don't want to help Fox News do their job sometimes, because we just seem to be good at that. It is amazing how, obviously, even a lot of liberals will not give the president credit for anything, you know.
Well, that's very true.
And I haven't talked to you since the end of the lame duck, but I mean, come on.
No, I give them a lot of credit for things. And Fox News's job is to keep its listeners in the peasant box. You know what I mean? It's Fox News's job is to keep working people supporting rich people, and that's all they do. And they're very good at it. And I know Fox News listeners aren't listening here, and that's why I use words with more than two syllables. But
yes,
you know,
they are listening, and
we have
mad.
To give Obama a lot of credit, and a lot of liberals. You know, what I keep saying though is it's the liberals' job to be on Obama's case. He said this at Netroots. He wanted the liberals to be on his case, and yeah. a lot of people are critical of Obama because they want to see him reelected. So I'm happy about Daley, but I'm going to keep talking about repealing NAFTA, because if we're serious about jobs, yeah. let's get serious about jobs.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. The you know, but
on that one, that's good. Thanks for that scrap from the
that.
Table.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
All right.
Well,
you can have the kidney.
Thank you. No, but I, you know, this is, the funny thing is, Chris, we've been screaming about this whole, I mean, not only is it just a stupid waste of everybody's time, this repealing of health care, but we have been repeating this over and over again. There are not two sets of facts.
Right.
The Congressional Budget Office is nonpartisan for a reason. Sometimes we like the numbers, sometimes we don't. Sometimes they like the numbers, sometimes they don't. But it just...
Never going to repeal it. They know they can't repeal it. They're doing it for one. The only reason that they're talking about repealing health care, it's one reason only, so that when your insurance company raises their rates, their hope is that you will blame Obama and not your insurance company. And that's all the repeal movement is about.
You know what I would settle for? I would like to see one quote-unquote mainstream media interview that actually calls these guys on some of this stuff. I swear to God, this is how I'm delusional anyway. You know that. But I literally am becoming like Rupert Pupkin. I interview the cutouts. I get a chance to interview Boner. I literally in my head, the huge political geek that I am, I was hiking yesterday, and I'm, doing the interview. I'm like, well, and again, respectful, not, hey, orange asshat, like we do on the radio.
Right.
I would love
to interview him.
Can you think of questions you would ask if you were in the mainstream media?
Should we put in a call?
Yes,
to
why
get
don't
him on?
You? Let's,
okay. I'm sure he'll rush right over to get on this program.
I would love to interview Boehner. I mean, there's so much you could ask in a civil way, just about
can't
facts.
You just say, can't one person in the media say, you know, Mr. Speaker, you say that, you know, this is what the people wanted. Obviously, that's what this whole Republican tsunami was about. Okay, the latest Vanity Fair, you know, whatever it is, CBS poll, and it echoes mm-hmm. obviously a lot of polls. 61% of the American people think we should cut the deficit by, tax cuts for the rich.
Right.
That we
mm-hmm.
should get rid of these tax cuts for the rich. 3 to 4% of the American public think we should do it by cutting Medicare and Social Security. And that's what I'm saying is they hugely want to do what is the opposite of what the American people want. It's like you say the American people want this. That's why they elected you. How do you square this? But nobody asks those questions.
Exactly.
They don't say you ran on cutting the deficit. Your first two moves were to vote for tax cuts for the rich, which added $700 billion to the deficit. Now you want to repeal health care, which helped $230 billion. It's going to add to the deficit.
I'd go even simpler than that. I'd say, John Boehner, can you tell us one time in your career when you supported labor over management? One time.
Have you ever cried for anything other than yourself?
Has trickle-down helped anybody who's not a millionaire?
Yeah.
Where's
the
evidence that trickle... 30 years, I'm waiting for the trickle to hit me. You know? Where is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many questions I'd ask him.
Yeah, and again, I love the headline, Republican bid to scrap health care hits a snag. Not to them. They don't care. They don't care about facts and figures and numbers. And that's the story. Republican efforts to scrap President Obama's health care reform took a hit on Thursday when budget analysts said repeal would add billions of dollars to the federal budget. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others have been on this show, out there talking about this. The only problem, Chris, they were low in their estimates. The nonpartisan CBO says it would add $230 billion to the deficit by 2021 and result in 32 million fewer people having health insurance. That was a blow to the Republican campaign promises to slash the federal budget deficit. Not when you're just complete bald-faced hypocrites and liars, right. I guess. Harry Reid said the Republicans have to understand the health care bill is not going to be repealed. We're willing to work in any way that's constructive in nature to improve the health care delivery system for our country. But repealing health care, they should get a new lease on life and talk about something else.
But they know it. They know they'll never repeal it. They're doing it because they're shills for big insurance. It's like when oil prices go up and we don't blame the oil companies.
So the $145 billion figure that I think Debbie and others cited here is that would increase by 2019. The figure would rise to $230 billion by 2021. But that's the messaging problem, John. Like we've talked about, speaking of polls, I think only 15% of the American public know that this plan decreases the deficit.
You're right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Most people think it increases the deficit because the Republicans keep repeating it.
Well, yeah, most people thought that Iraq was involved with 9/11 5 years after we invaded Iraq.
Right.
I mean, the 70%
figure. This is why they've had to break their very first rule about open amendments and open, transparent, blah, 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 because one Democrat after another would get up and say this. So they don't want an open process. You're right. They just want it's a little.
It's all theater.
Yeah,
the Republicans know they'll never repeal it, and they don't want to go on. They don't want to go to the wall fighting to bring back pre-existing conditions either. They're doing this because they are the servants of the insurance companies, and when your rates go up, because
have you seen out here in California? Did you see the headline about Anthem and Blue Cross? It may raise rates up to 69%.
That's a lot.
To me, I'm really going. This is why we got to go back and put a public option in, like the majority of the American people want. I mean, the majority. They keep repeating that too, John. People don't want this. The American people, yes, they do. They want this or more liberal.
And you, as a small business owner, aren't too happy about that.
No, I certainly am not. We're going to have to cut some fat around here.
Again, this is an example of where the left has been critical of Obama because a lot of people feel he hasn't sold this well enough. If they'd called it health insurance reform instead of health care reform, I think it would have swayed people a lot easier. But the message has got to go out about what's in this bill that's good. And again, the mandate that people are so upset about is what's tipping the scales for the insurance companies. Yeah, the insurance company is going to lose money because they can't dump cancer patients anymore, but they'll get more money from all the new clients, right? But they're going to jack up rates anyway. And that's why this entire repeal movement is so you will blame Obama for your rates going up instead of your insurance carriers.
Yeah,
that's it's about.
Exactly.
And here endeth the lesson.
Thank you.
Anyway, I mentioned this earlier, but Boehner literally said the CBO is entitled to their opinion. What?
They don't. Wait a minute. A Congressional Budget Office doesn't deal with opinions. They deal with numbers.
He says that, the numbers don't add up. It's more of that fuzzy math, apparently, when they number. They don't like the numbers. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whom we know and was on this show the other day.
Hot.
But we have got to make sure that we protect people who need help with their health care.
Representative Chris Van Hollen, whom we also know on the healthcare debate.
Sometimes we like what they say, sometimes we don't.
The CBO.
Yes.
But
when
you don't like the call on the field, it's not part of the rules of the game that you throw the referee off the field and substitute your judgment.
Rules? They don't need no stinking rules. They'll just change them.
They don't need no stinking badges either.
John, is that not like every kid you played with that changed the rules in the middle, of a game where you're like, "What? Huh? No, you can't. Huh? You just made that up."
That's all they do is change rules. I can't wait for another Republican president so Republicans will stop complaining about unemployment and deficits.
Yeah,
right.
We didn't hear any of this
in 2008.
We said this, and we were right before the midterms that it's going to be like Battleship, which everybody cheated at. That's what they're like.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Before.
Miss?
No, see? And then you're just in, you say it really slow so you have time to move your boat.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
That was from the commercial.
Yes, it was.
That was from another commercial. That was from Connect 4.
Anybody that was from Connect 4.
Born after 1985 won't get that reference.
Yep. All right. Representative Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, on them changing the rules.
No hearings. No hearings. No. This is not a thoughtful process. And then you're all telling me that you want a closed rule. Bring it to the floor, no amendments, no input, so much for the open process. There's none.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I just love, I mean, I know it's the Democrats' job, you know, to have to state what's going on, John, but it's like, you feel like, really? Are you really surprised they're being bald-faced hypocrites? Of course, this is what they spent the last 2 years screaming about, not being able to do amendments, the process isn't open, blah, blah, blah. And it just, I mean, it's like stunning, stunning hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go read the Constitution on the floor. Let's $1 million a day to run the House. Let's read the Constitution on the floor and overlook the fact that it proves the Iraq War is illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all for show. It's all peasant maintenance, and that's all it is.
I'm surprised they didn't skip over the 14th Amendment. You know,
they skipped over the 3/5 of a person because, you know, that's messy.
I'm surprised they didn't skip over the 14th Amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
They hate that one.
They really hate that one. So does
Scalia.
They
read parts of Huckleberry Finn instead.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait to talk about that today.
All right, then. Let's do that next. 45 minutes after the hour.
That's what we call a tease in the business.
Look at us. Back with more Fridays with People Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
This song we know.
Yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not Lisa.
No, it's not.
This is Naked Eyes.
Nor Julie. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Shirley in Arizona in Phoenix. Hey, Shirley.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning, girlfriend.
I'm really blank off. The fact is that we know we're going to have nut jobs. We know we're going to have Republicans and this and that. The fact is that I blame the Democrats. I blame the voters. The fact is, how did we lose the House? Nancy Pelosi did everything. You know, everything. It died in the Senate. The fact is that why did they lose? It could have been Citizens United. But, you know, Randy Rhodes, your buddy?
Yes.
She gets phone calls. The fact is that these people are bitching and moaning and all of this stuff, and they didn't go out and vote. You just sat on your duck.
Exactly.
We deserve what we get.
Yeah, well, that's what Randy and I were telling you before.
And you are great, by the way.
Oh, thank you, honey.
I agree with
Isn't
you.
Isn't she?
Well, I'm no Randy Rhodes, but...
I know, honey. Talk about you all the time.
No, but, you know, this is the thing, and Shirley, here's the thing. They are going to feel our pain because they're going to pass all this crazy Tea Party legislation in the House, and it's going to die in the Senate. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Shirley,
all right, honey.
You don't need an organ transplant there in Arizona, do you?
I can't move. But the fact is, we have crazy people. Every governor, Republican governor, that's ever been running our
state has always gone
down the. Down the tube.
Well, you know, Shirley, here's the, you know, what Chris is referring to is actually the sad part. You know, we joke a lot on this show about, oh, this is what you get and this is what you voted for. But in this case, it really is sad. The breaking news out of Arizona is another person has died that needed a transplant because Governor Brewer.
I'm up there and I might need something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, she's a nut anyway. We've
she is a nut.
For years.
Yeah. Yeah. Please treat your organs well, Shirley. We need you.
I'm trying, dear.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Oh, that was cute.
Yeah, I mean, you
said earlier... All ladies treat your organs well.
Yeah.
Listen, a lot of ladies have treated yours well, John. But, you know,
I
don't
wash it every day.
I don't know what that meant.
What was that?
It was a joke. Here's the thing. You know, we were saying that this is an actual death panel. And it's not funny.
I mean, that's the thing. It certainly is.
It's, you know, Obama's health care plan, that was something Sarah Palin pulled out of her ass.
Of all the vulgar lies Sarah Palin has told, you know, my dad died a few months ago, and I went through an extensive hospice at home period with my mom, who's a nurse. And, you know, anyone who's been through end-of-life counseling, anyone who's been there for someone who's died knows that Sarah Palin's greatest lie of her entire career, and I'm not just, you know, throwing a little weight around here, was when she called end-of-life counseling death panels. It is cynical. It is evil. It is wrong what she did. And it's the worst thing she's ever done. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
Well, and anyone who talks about a death panel goes before a douche panel in my book because it's a lie.
Well, Chris, explain what the actual death panel is in Arizona. Jan Brewer, who is the governor.
Yeah, there's the state Medicare system called Access. And, you know, people have previously been able to get organ transplants through this state Medicare system. And she cut the funding for organ transplants in the state Medicare system. So even people who were on the waiting list before for organ transplants are no longer getting organ transplants, and now we just had a second person die.
Incredible.
Because they didn't get, you know, the organ transplant that was previously promised.
Yeah, well, I, unfortunately, this is the consequence of how they govern. I mean, this is what I was saying. Oh, they campaigned. Let's see how they govern.
But
this is
saved
how they
jobs.
Govern. Take note of how they govern.
That is an actual death panel that is resulting in deaths.
Yeah, and it's all about profit. That's all it's about. These people are shills. And the more we can talk about it, the more you can hopefully wake some Arizonans up out of the matrix.
Senator Harry Reid with a message for Republicans.
The Republicans have to understand that the health care bill is not going to be repealed.
The boner.
He said forcefully.
As Harry Reid can.
He boner. Ripped the tassels off his loafers.
This health care law, by raising taxes, imposing new mandates, and increasing uncertainty, is already destroying jobs in our country.
What? Really?
It will continue to destroy jobs in America unless we do something about it.
He never goes on to explain, John, how this destroys jobs. Exactly. How giving 32 million more people health insurance destroys jobs.
Well, it'll destroy his job if people find out that he's lying.
Yes. This is,
he is the new Kool-Aid.
On how I know I promised an open process, but...
I promised a more open process. I didn't promise that every single bill was going to be an open bill.
Oh, you promised an openness-like process type situation, but not necessarily. You didn't really mean every, it wouldn't be every, it would not this bill. This
and
bill's
the Tea
not
Party
be
heads
open
begin
bill.
To explode. Pop, not pop, this, pop.
Not exactly. That's exactly what he said. I promise open bills. It's like, no, I meant an open type process.
But see, Frank Luntz said, you're going to say job killer in every sentence for the next 6 months. And so they all do it like the mannequins they are. And job killer is going to be their new mantra. And you've got to keep in mind, when they say job killer, it's all a lie. It's all because they are servants of the insurance companies and they want you to blame Obama when your rates go up. I'm going to keep on saying it every time they say job killer because that's all it's about.
Craig in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Craig.
Hi there.
How are your organs this morning?
I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. How are your organs this morning?
Well, they're holding tight. I'm going to keep a good eye on them, that's for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
Well, I was calling real quick because, I know a lot of people are into the whole birther thing with Boehner's interview last night. But what I found fascinating was when he was asked, is there a program that we can do without when it comes to cutting spending? He said, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Now, if that's
do you wonder where that $100 billion is going to come from, exactly?
Yeah. I thought maybe he would have used a little Christmas break to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's go to Jason in Fort Worth, Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Odd Stuff. My organs are kind of rigid right now, and it's mostly because of you.
Thank you. A little morning wood for you.
Or is it cold there?
You pull off that lime green cap really well. I think it looks great on you.
Here's them watching on the Ustream.
I thought I'd never say lime green cap and sexy in the same sentence. I thought that was
It's actually Kelly Green, but whatever. Kelly. Go ahead.
I just wish they'd get rid of the filibuster the way that Speaker Thomas Reed did over 100 years ago in the House, where they had a kind of a filibuster system going. People would pretend that they weren't there for the votes when they were. What the Speaker did was he said, we have a quorum present, we're holding the vote now, and he had the guards lock the doors to the House. Let them scream, let them cry, let them throw their little tantrums, but we're holding the vote now, up or down. Are you voting for this? Are you not voting for this? And he cut out a lot of the BS in at least that House of Congress. And I wish Harry Reid would be more like Thomas Reid and cut out a lot of the BS instead of nibbling at the edges of it.
I get your point. I mean, but
I'm nibbling at the edges. That cap is really getting into my
All right.
My skin.
Okay, Jason.
They
All
do have
right.
a limit on how often they can use reconciliation, but you can use the filibuster as much as you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I was saying yesterday is I think, you know, at a minimum, the things that it's escaping my mind, the senator, but that, you know, wants no secret holds and that you have to actually stand there and filibuster. I think those two we should do at a minimum. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you, Jesus. My name is Teresa. No, I'm confused. Oh, I don't know. 6 minutes after
that's not
the
my
hour.
Name. That's not my name.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free. Anyway, to join the party, it's a party because Jim Ward's here now.
Yay.
Boy Deity Jim Ward in the house.
Happy New Year, Jim.
Same to you.
John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau, in the midst of bags of garbage and rats.
Slush falling from the sky.
Yep.
Neat.
Thank you, John.
Big rats.
For
thanks,
your
Mr.
service.
Bloomberg.
All right, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Somebody sent me a. I'm not sure if this is a future husband stack or this is why I'm gay.com. New York. Minnesota man with mullet plants dildos with explosives for ex girlfriends.
What?
Can I just say this has a little
is
bit
that,
of a Acme feel to it?
An
a little
onion
bit of
headline?
Kind of some something that sounds like cartoon music, a little Roadrunner something. It's a little Roadrunner meets a...
Do you have the Glenn Beck theme?
Hey!
Hey, with a fly. In Waseca, Minnesota, a Waseca man is charged with felony making and possession of bombs and terroristic threats after authorities discovered a homemade explosive device hidden in a sex toy. A Waseca woman called police, told them Lester had been staying with her and another woman at her apartment. Hello. But he was forced to leave when the manager learned about his presence. Lester moved out but left behind some bags that contained suspicious containers, including one which was marked with the words Christmas gifts written in a black marker. Mm, oh, that's clever.
Yeah. This is funny for so many reasons.
What did he leave us? A criminal complaint says Lester had made some modifications to a sex toy.
It's not Lester Bangs, by any chance.
Bang! Hey!
Oh, wow.
Going up, you're coming or going?
Packing it with gunpowder, a BB shot, and buckshot from shotgun shells, he added he added black and red wires connected to a trigger with a battery port. Oh, that didn't look suspicious. The complaint maintains Lester was going to give the device to one of the three women he had broken up with after the relationships turned sour.
Wow. Because that's what you do when you break up with somebody. Mm. That's the first thing I do. Send them an improvement.
I don't know why that story just tickled something. All right. Hey, speaking of comedy, how about the Republican Congress? We've got birthers and what else do we got?
Lions and tigers and bears.
And birthers, right now I'm taking the N-word out of every Wu-Tang Clan album and replacing it with slave.
Yeah, good idea.
Slave what? Slave please. That's my slave for real. Was that my slave?
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah. Thank
you. All right, you wanted to talk about that before I get into the comedy from the new Republican majority. You wanted to talk about them taking the N-word out of Huckleberry Finn.
Well, I'm sure you guys have talked about it already this week, but it's incredible that now Huckleberry Finn, in the new version, Jim is human property. He's shackled, he's beaten, he's tortured, but no one calls him any bad words.
Right.
And that's a relief to me.
That makes it okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're changing the N-word to a slave, which I think is ridiculous. You can't rewrite history. I think you use it as if you use it in school, you use it as an example of our
it's
history.
Such an insult to Mark Twain, and this is, and again, can I blame liberal political correctness for this? Because this is really too far. This is an example when liberals want to say,
it's
okay,
a classic. You know,
pull
it's
the reins back. Yeah, it's polluting a classic. If they want to do it, they shouldn't be allowed to call it Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn. They should call it the abridged, watered-down, softcore children's version. And again, you know, the N-word is offensive, but slavery isn't. And that's the idea behind this.
Right.
You can't rewrite our history. I think that, like I say, you've got to, you know, you can say, look, this is what this time was like in America, and it is a horrible stain on our legacy, but this is how we've corrected it and moved forward.
It's another example of this zero-tolerance BS, which means zero judgment.
But it's also well-intentioned academics who want the book to be read by younger people, but they should read the word, because if you're able to read the book, you'll have some morons in the back row snickering at the word so many times, but the actual story, I mean, Huckleberry Finn is one of the greatest novels, along with Uncle Tom's Cabin, ever written about Christianity and American politics. Right. When Huck tears up that letter, he does it because, and he knows when he tears up that letter that he's going to hell. And he does it knowing that if he lets Jim go, he's a bad Christian and he's going to hell, because that's what he's been taught his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still completely relevant today when you see Confederate balls going on in South Carolina.
Yeah.
People still saying the Civil War was about states' rights. Everyone's in denial about the brutality and evil of slavery. And Mark Twain's book needs to have that word so many times and all of its blistering ugliness for people to finally take it seriously.
Right.
We don't take slavery seriously.
Well, it's like when people cite the Bible to gay bash. But then you go, well, okay, but the Bible says slavery's okay, too. So if you're going
people used the Bible back then to justify slavery. So I am my brother's keeper turned into I can keep brothers. That's how they did it.
I think the most important question is, what does Dr. Laura think about this?
What?
Do you think she will read a version of Huckleberry Finn on tape and throw in some extra N-words
point? No, they are taking the N-word out of the book, but Dr. Laura has offered to come to your house and say it out loud while you read.
At least 8 times.
Just gratuitously and repetitively.
Wu-Tang offered her to replace the old dirty bastard.
That's right. She called Jim an N-word, N-word, N-word. N-word, N-word. Okay, Dr. Laura, I get it. Okay.
Oh, white people hate that there's a word they're not allowed to say. Do you love that? Sarah Palin getting all upset. Don't retreat. Reload, Dr. Laura. White people can't stand that there's one word they're not allowed to say. The whole history of this country is 400 years of Caucasians selling black folks. You can't keep your language, can't keep your religion, can't go off the reservation, can't be free. Okay, you're free, but you can't vote. Okay, you can vote, but you can't eat at this counter, can't drink out of that water fountain. 400 years, black folks have told Caucasians they can't do one thing.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
say that word.
Yeah.
And people go nuts over it.
It wasn't so much just that you said it, but the venom with which she did. I mean, she really
the glee.
Relished
the release. And Sarah Palin defended it, folks.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
I know. It's unbelievable.
White people, is it that hard to not say that word?
By the way,
six, 7 times a week tops.
Where is Sarah Palin on Ann Coulter calling an MSNBC host the R word?
Do we have a cricket sound?
What?
Republican?
Retarded. She called...
That's okay when she does it.
Yeah.
She called Cenk retarded.
Yes.
And we've heard nothing from Ms. Palin.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because it's satire.
Okay.
Oh.
Let me talk about the new comedic Republican. So it took only 2 days for majority Republicans in the House to suffer their first embarrassment. Two of their members, including the House Republican campaign chairman, voted half a dozen times in Wednesday's opening session before they were sworn in. Oh, dear. Hmm. Representative Pete Session of Texas and Mike Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania were at a reception, I guess, which was more important than being sworn in.
That's hilarious.
So then Republicans need to craft a way to fix the problem. Their fix is to officially tag the two as men who weren't there through a resolution that will ask the House to nullify their votes, but not the voting results.
Oh, God.
But the fix will only bring yet another embarrassment. The resolution to correct the record is the same one that will set debate rules for the signature Republican legislation next week, repeal of the new law that changed health care. Democrats can now mix in the question of improper Republican voting with their vigorous opposition to the repeal. There's more. On Thursday, Republicans had House members read the Constitution aloud. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee put out a statement that said, despite being in Washington, Congressman-elect Pete Sessions and Mike Fitzpatrick missed being sworn into Congress yesterday, not being sworn in, and technically not being members of Congress didn't stop Pete Sessions or Mike Fitzpatrick from voting all day yesterday or participating in the reading of the U.S. Constitution on the House floor today. So they were there for the meaningless little skit.
Yeah,
but they were
called in to be sworn in after.
Yeah.
They couldn't be there to actually do their job.
They were at their own fundraiser. That's why.
Well, yeah, they watched it on TV, and so they raised their hands while they watched it on TV. So that makes it okay.
Yeah. I think Keith Olbermann say that? So that means we're all congressmen now because I watched it on TV too.
Right.
And then I waved to someone that walked in the room. So now I'm
a
congressman.
Rachel said that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Hi. How you doing?
Hey,
I'm a congresswoman.
I'm congressman. How about that?
The Democratic Campaign Committee said Mr. Sessions misses more votes than anyone else on the committee. That's a fact. That he's missing votes and apparently missing his own swearing in because he's raising money takes the trophy. Yeah. Good job.
How long do you think it's going to be before Boehner takes credit for the unemployment going down? See what I did?
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
the gavel.
I said that.
Unemployment goes down immediately.
I said that last hour, Jim.
It's
I
the
said
Bush
it's
recovery.
Taken him a day, and the unemployment
Must
rate
have been
is already
I was in the shower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What?
It's the Bush recovery's triumph of the Obama recession.
Now, Pete Sessions showed up to say this.
What we're attempting to do is not a surprise to the American public, nor to any member of Congress that has been reading about the expectations of performance.
Yeah, like it wasn't a surprise to the Russians when Hitler invaded. Shouldn't have been. Had they read Mein Kampf, it was all right there.
Wow. Yeah, this is these are the fun facts. As I mentioned, they have in record time, the House Republican Party has broken several of its own pledges on the first day in power, ladies and gentlemen. Day one.
Wow.
They've already walked back three key promises they touted through the end of the 111th Congress. Open amendment process now closed. Yeah. Slam. With their first legislation to repeal the health care law, Eric Cantor is suggesting the Republicans will skip the open rule to avoid potentially embarrassing Democratic amendments.
Yeah.
They might point out embarrassing facts like things from the CBO and stuff like that. And crazy facts and figures about the $230 billion it will add to the deficit. And, crazy.
Dirty liberal reality.
The excuse, he says, it's a quote-unquote straightforward document of a two-page straight repeal, so there's nothing to amend. See, because there's less pages. That's why.
Okay.
So there's...
Just repeal the whole thing. So that's nothing.
God.
In response to backlash over his backtrack, Boner said, I promise a more open process.
I didn't say it was going to be more open. I didn't say it was going to be open.
I didn't promise that every single bill was going to be an open.
We've been very open about our hypocrisy, so it's open. Completely open.
He meant bills that are big enough to just slam on the floor in a little hissy fit before you start crying. That's what he meant.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
See, that's the thing. If a bill falls in the Congress and doesn't make a sound because it's only two pages...
It flutters.
Exactly. Then it doesn't...
Yeah. So
that doesn't count.
How are you going to repeal something that you haven't read? You're gonna reveal something you don't understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, $100 billion spending cuts. That's now hypothetical. Confidently touting their pledge to America, Boner and his young guns reiterated the promise they would save $100 billion in the first year. According to Republican aides, that promise is, as we mentioned yesterday, hypothetical. Than literal.
Billion-ish.
It's not literal. Fox News actually pressed right-wing tool Mike Pence about the GOP waffling on that, and Pence said anyone who focuses on the $100 billion figure is just trying to parse words.
What?
Well, yes, yours. Your exact words. Yes.
They were promises. They ran on that. They won elections with that number.
All right. Rule number three that they have broken their own rule on day one of the Congress. Public Access Committee attendance now unfair. In the name of transparency, the initial rule package the House Republicans proposed included a provision to make committee attendance public. But fittingly, behind closed doors in the House Republican conference meeting yesterday, Representative Louie Gohmert stripped the provision out.
Oh.
Doors closed.
Hurrah. In that Flintstones kind of way.
Exactly.
Wilma! Wilma! Where's the cat?
That's Hannity's job.
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays at Fugle
Sounds
on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. John Fugle saying in the New York Bureau.
Hey, Mamacita.
Dodging the rats. All right.
Thanks, Mr. Bloomberg.
Gene in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for being
I have some points to make about words like job killers. The extreme right wants to constantly focus on what they believe. That's John Boehner's whole thing with the CBO numbers. He doesn't believe them. And you can't reason with people when they're operating solely on their beliefs. And so I think that instead of being on the defense all the time, Democrats need to go on the offense with their own talking points about that to be able to say, believe whatever you want. But that's not what the evidence says. It's
right.
Like the other day I had a very extreme right-wing person in my work environment say, I don't believe humans can do anything that will change the climate. Believe whatever you want. But that's not what the evidence says.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well,
I don't believe
it's
the overwhelming world scientific consensus.
Yeah.
I don't believe the world is round because you would fall off.
It's so obvious.
Gene in St. Paul is, I think, the issue here is what we've been saying over and over again. I mean, when John Boehner comes out and says, well, the CBO is entitled to their opinion. It's right. Not, that's the thing. There is one set of facts. We can argue about what we should do about it, but I just don't even know how you start a conversation like that.
Well, I one thing I find really frightening that's sort of been occurring to me as I've listened to you all over the most recent weeks is that I think it's more than just wanting to remain ignorant. I think there's a real effort to cultivate ignorance in this country, to strip the education department, to homeschool their children and have lots of them so they make lots more little ignorant people.
Gene, but see, this is the consequence of, sitting out this last election, is this is what we've got now. We have 61% of Americans think, we should cut the deficit by taxing the rich. Exactly the opposite of what the Republicans are going to do. Yeah. 3% and 4% believe cutting Social Security and Medicare should be how we cut it. That's exactly what they want to do. I mean,
ignorant people are easy to control.
Oh, you guys see Jersey Shore last night?
Oh, see what you
Thank
did there.
You. Exactly. See what we did there. Thank you for playing, proving our point. Exactly.
If Reagan hadn't cut public school funding, there might not be any Jersey Shore today.
Well, there you go again.
But they don't want an informed citizenry. They want sheep, and they're getting it.
Jeff in Hartford.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Yes.
I'm just curious what Jan Brewer is going to do now that she's cutting people off from getting organ transplants.
Yeah. And a second person has died in Arizona, if you've just tuned in, because waiting for an organ transplant.
I'm a living organ donor. I gave my kidney to my mother about 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I just don't think that this woman realizes that there's certain maintenance that people that are having organ failure have to go through.
Yeah.
That's very costly. So I just don't know, where is this money coming from? Where is it going?
Yeah.
How is she going to maintain these people now on, peritoneal dialysis and, hospice and all this other
stuff? She's going to let them die.
Are you just a really good guy, or did your mom constantly tell you how long she was in labor and how much it hurt when you came out?
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's something simple that a lot of Republicans could take a lesson from. Do it because it's the right thing to do.
Wish
How
Jan
about
Brewer
that?
Would take that lesson.
Yeah. Mike in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Steph? Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you.
Wasn't it the Republicans who all last year were complaining that the Dems, when they got into Congress, they should have focused on jobs and not on health care? And refresh my memory, what's their first item on the itinerary? Yeah, trying to overturn health care. Shouldn't they be focusing on jobs, I thought?
Yep, exactly.
Well, that would involve having an agenda.
Because they keep calling it the job-killing health bill without any explanation of how.
No evidence.
How is it killing jobs? David in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. It's these Republicans, one more time, they can cross off what they don't stand for. They're no longer the party of life. They always talk about abortion. They always talk about how they're for life. Forget it. It ain't happening. Not what they stand for anymore.
Real life sad evidence of what a death panel actually is in Arizona. Mm-hmm. This is the result of how they govern. She cut funding and, real live people, two people now have died. Mm-hmm. Waiting for an organ transplant because of those particular budget cuts.
And how could anyone watch Jan Brewer at that debate and then vote for her and then be surprised at this? She's as evil as she is.
Well, because they were taken by her compelling opening statement.
Might be headings in the desert.
They didn't even need to hear anymore. She had them at, hello?
I don't feel threatened by her.
Hello? Is this on? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She isn't completely oblivious. She's just got a basic Cliff Notes version of current events.
That's all you need for radio. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated for Fridays with Fugelsang.
It's snowing.
Is it really?
Is it really
snowing again?
Starting to come down there?
At least that will freeze some of the rats in place on their way to the garbage.
That's proof that global warming is a hoax.
Look, the
I
good
can't
news
wait for the Sean Hannity jokes.
Yeah.
The good thing is, if you forgot to throw out, if you threw out a Christmas gift receipt, your garbage is still outside in New York City. You can go find it.
All right. In power scarcely a day, House Republicans bluntly told the White House its request to raise the nation's debt limit will require federal spending cuts to win their approval.
Huh.
The boner made the challenge as the new Republican majority voted to cut funding for House members' own offices and committee operations by $35 million. Oh, that's going to help a lot.
By dozens of dollars.
Wow. He also said emphatically he was standing by his pre-election pledge to cut government spending by at least $100 billion. No ifs, ands, or buts, he said, despite recent comments from other Republicans. That might be a little... It was a little hypothetical. It's not literal. It was, yeah, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
It was a...
Spitball.
Yeah. They were spitballing.
Wait till they get back in power and there's a deficit of caring about the deficit.
Yeah. Here is the boner.
I think you'll be irresponsible to try to deal with a debt limit without taking corrective action so that we're not facing this each and every year.
Mm-hmm. He's like Gingrich 2.0, you know? It's like all the evil and twice as dumb.
Well, it's like a cut-rate Gingrich.
Yeah. He's like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of Gingrich.
Yeah.
Speaking of irresponsible, Tim Geithner wrote a letter to them saying an increase in the debt limit simply permits the Treasury to fund those obligations that Congress has already established. Without an increase, he said, the government would be forced to default, causing catastrophic damage to the economy that could rival the effects of the near collapse of our banking system in 2008-2009. Dick Durbin, among others, said using this doomsday scenario and putting the American economy at risk, I don't think is a responsible way to govern.
But if they can blame Obama for it... Then that's what it's about.
Okay, oh, now look what you did. See, in this, can I have my nostalgia music, please? You see, Jim, I didn't think there would be an occasion to tell the story again about my Republican brother when we were childs. What?
When you was childs?
We're children. You know, Mom starts drinking a little early on Friday.
Yeah.
No, say was childs. You get up for a job on Fox.
Well, those... For those that know the lore of the Stephanie Miller Show, my Republican brother, he used to yell "butkus" in the 70s before tackling me. See, that would be my cue to run for my life, because the fearsome Dick Butkus, the tackler, Jim, he would yell "butkus," and then it would be my job to run for my life, and then he would tackle me.
Yelling "favre" isn't quite the same.
No, exactly.
So he tackled girls and grew up to be a Republican?
Mm-hmm. And one time he tackled me into my mom's Ming vase.
I don't think it was a Ming vase.
I don't think it was.
Was she merciless?
It was just something. It was something of my mom's. And so we hid under the bed for hours until my mom got home in terror. And then when
were
she...
Were you that scared of your mother?
Yeah, well, she's also a Republican.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
anyway,
mean.
But when he did it, he looked at me and he said, "Look what you did. Mom's going to kill you."
Oh.
And I was like, "What? I didn't... What?" Anyway, we both got punished equally. That was because we did. Wait, what do you mean, we?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I'm sure your mother listening.
My mom's like, "I told you not to play in the house." I'm like, "I'm not playing. I'm running for life from this thug that you've spawned."
I'm sure your mother listening on our brand new Charlotte affiliate.
Hi, Mom.
Loves you telling that story.
Oh, that's right. Let's give a shout-out to WSTP-AM in Salisbury, North Carolina, in the Charlotte area, and the handsome and talented program director there, Mike.
And WOIC in Columbia, South Carolina.
Hello.
We welcome them as well.
Hello. Okay.
Howdy.
Yeah.
Wow, you got more stations than Glenn Beck got dropped from New York.
Yeah.
Merry
weird.
Christmas.
It's weird. So, yeah, Tim Geithner warned Congress it must raise the limit, the debt limit, or risk an unprecedented and economically devastating default. It used to be a no-brainer for every year in our history. He said his department estimates the debt limit will be reached between March 31st and May 16th. He's requesting action early this year, well before the threat of default becomes imminent. Never in our history has Congress failed to increase the debt limit when necessary. We did it many, many times. Was it 8 times, Chris, during George Bush? I think
sure.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes. Failure to raise the debt or the limit would precipitate a default by the United States. Default would effectively impose a significant and long-lasting tax on all Americans and American businesses and could lead to the loss of millions of American jobs. Now, that's a job killer. You know, Geithner listed consequences, which include a substantial tax on Americans, a rise in borrowing costs, interest rate hikes, and an increase in mortgage interest rates. Boner, in a statement, tried to be firm, saying the American people will not stand for such an increase unless it's accompanied by meaningful action by the president. Blah. Although he acknowledged that America cannot default on its debt, a signal that he realizes some action must be taken to avoid an default. And this is the line he is going to toe between the crazy Tea Party. And, you know, he's saying the grown-ups are back in charge and that's going to be the first thing they do. Who else, by the way? Someone else came out. Paul Ryan.
Yep.
says the tactic is not viable of voting against raising the tax, exposing more fault lines in the Republican caucus.
Oh, yeah.
But no one's surprised by it.
So we'll see how all that plays out.
You know, if America forgives all of Haiti's debt, it might give China some good ideas. That's all I'm saying.
Here is Representative Paul Ryan.
If we're going to do this, which obviously you can't default, we need to have some real fiscal fixes in order to do that.
Meaning so, getting rid of Social Security.
Yes, which arousing 3 to 4% of the American public.
Entitlements, Jim. It's entitlements.
Right.
Yes. Representative,
we're sending more troops to Afghanistan, by the way.
Yeah.
Representative Paul Ryan.
If people think we're afraid of cutting $100 billion, they got another thing coming. This is just the beginning.
Oh, brave man.
Mm, and he's something.
The poor have had it easy for too long.
Yeah. Chuck Schumer yesterday.
If Republicans want to give millionaires a tax break, the new rules say there's no need to cut spending to pay for it.
Yeah, I you know, how many times can we say it? You know, and by we, I mean at least 61% of the American public. That is the way you solve the whole deficit problem, is these friggin' tax cuts that we gave the top 2% that, you know, once again, because they held everything hostage to get that passed, and now they're screaming about the deficit and they're going to let us default.
So tell me something, Steph. Let me ask you a question, because we had a bitter knockdown, drag-out fight over this before the holidays. But Obama extended the tax cuts for two more years. This means that during his reelection year, if he tries to repeal it again, the GOP can call him a job killer and a tax hiker. And if he goes along with them, he'll look weak. So where's the advantage in extending them for 2 years?
Well, because that's what it took to get this deal, and we would never have gotten a stimulus. We got a backdoor stimulus as well. I mean, look at the first 2 days of this Congress, John. If you think we would have done better by waiting and let unemployment run out on, you know, untold people at Christmas, I think we had to do it. But I'm just saying, you cannot let them bring up the deficit one time without saying this is how we solve the deficit.
Because
we got to keep making our case so that we can in 2 years.
But his timing, you know, if he did it for a one-year extension or a three-year extension, but instead he's walked into an Admiral Akbar trap for exactly 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, but if they're going to have this deficit discussion, you got to keep. On health care, you got to keep bringing up $230 billion is the number.
Amen.
That will add to the deficit if you repeal health care. Chuck Schumer yesterday.
So much for cutting the deficit. On the first day on the job,
thank you.
Republicans are already spending trillions more than they plan to cut.
Yeah, exactly.
He's turning into the new Howard Dean of the party, by the way. This guy's really, really sharp. I mean, Schumer's really heading this program to organize in all the states where there are Democrats at risk. And they're really going to, I think, be a lot more message-centered in the next 2 years because of Schumer.
Yep. By the way, I agree with you. You brought up Afghanistan. I mean, again, you know, this is going to be the fight for the next 2 years is how, you know, what you cut. And I absolutely agree that it's like just getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan. Tax cuts for the rich.
That's job program.
Boom.
That's a jobs program, though.
But I mean,
every surge is a jobs program.
The Pentagon announced yesterday it plans to freeze its ballooning budget, forcing the services to shrink the Army and Marines and increase health care premiums for military retirees and their families. The Pentagon says it can stop asking for annual budget increases in 2015, adjusting spending only for inflation. You know, it seems like this would be the bare minimum. We should be able to, and already, of course, Republicans are screaming about this.
Right.
It's tied to two assumptions: the war in Afghanistan will end on time, which of course the Republicans will also fight, and that Congress will agree to plans to cancel popular job-making programs and charge retired military families for more health care. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said the Defense Department is not exempt from belt-tightening just because of its charge to defend the nation. Mike Mullen says he does think the Afghanistan war will shrink as planned in 2014, but you know, again, it's going to be a fight every step of the way with Republicans on this.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately, the proposal ran in opposition in Congress, including Republicans who say President Obama is shortchanging the military. First of all, it's the military saying, you know, it's people like Robert Gates saying, guess what, we don't need the planes that can't fly in the rain or whatever. It's the military saying they can cut their budget, and of course they're going to blame the president. Buck McKeon.
Buck. Is that who you are or what you do?
Okay.
Oh.
Chairman of the House Armed Services. Says, I'm not happy. I want my fancy military toys that don't work.
Disappointed!
Oh, fish called Wanda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
In the meantime, many newly erected?
Erected? What?
Well, some of them may be.
Well, really?
Hey, should have seen the other guy.
Hey, now. Is that who you are or what you do?
Some of those Tea Party campaign offices looked like Cialis commercials, I'm sure. They were so excited about their erection. Election.
Walls are melting, man.
In the meantime, many newly elected Tea Party activists said the Defense Department isn't doing enough. So here's where the Tea Party and anti-war Democrats come together.
Yep.
They say they aren't doing enough to scale back their mammoth half-trillion-dollar annual budget. Rand Paul said, we have nearly doubled our military budget in the past 10 years. To avoid bankruptcy, mm-hmm. we'll have to evaluate all spending from food stamps. Oh, especially the ones that black people use at lunch counters. I know what you're saying.
You know, Rand Paul is just sane enough to make you furious.
Yes.
He's right on the drug war. He's right on the Iraq war. And then Rand Paul,
and then he steps off the reservation.
And then you start to notice the tribble on his head. And
yeah, I'm going to bring in a game next week called Jesus or Ayn Rand. Because you can't really follow both of those people, Rand Paul. Ayn Rand hated Jesus and hated religion.
Gates has long argued benefits provided under the military system known as TRICARE are too generous. This one's going to be controversial. He said basic family plan costs only $460 a year, a fee that hasn't increased since 1995 and would cost $5,000 a year for a civilian federal worker. He said he wants military retirees under the age of 65 to pay modest increases to fees. Once again, I say better idea, get out of Iraq and Afghanistan sooner.
Mm-hmm.
How's about that?
And by the way, the Brookings Institution, I think, did a study, and that we're killing 10 times more civilians than we are bad guys with the drone wars.
In Afghanistan.
Yeah. So how is that helping us?
46 minutes after the hour. It's helping the drone business. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your help, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Ed in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hey, good morning there, crew. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Good morning
to
you.
Good morning.
I just wanted to underline something I think John said earlier, that Dems really got to go on the offensive and have our own concise, albeit possibly less obvious, talking points. For example, that health care is keeping the deficit down.
Well, that's not a talking point. That's a fact. Brought to you by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
To use those facts as talking points and hammer them just like the Republicans do with their load.
That's what Howard Dean did.
Yep.
Seniors being covered, the youngest who are allowed to live under the parents' household and be covered, keeping the deficit down. Those are points that need to be repeated again and again by every Democrat that gets in front of a microphone. We have to be as aggressive and consistent as they are.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting, Ed. I heard Rush yesterday saying that they also refer as to talking points when they're our side. The people are talking points in their opinion. He was going, oh, well, we're going to trot out these people that they say benefited from this health care plan. It's like, yes. Because they're actual people.
Because they benefited from the health care plan.
Right. They weren't dropped because of a pre-existing condition whose kids are on their health care up till 25.
Trot them out. Here they come. We're going to trot these talking points out.
Yeah, you know, as long as they say Obamacare, we're allowed to say teabagger. And don't forget it, folks.
Mm-hmm. Lisa in Chicago. Hi, Lise.
Hi, guys. Hi, Mooks and John. I just had to tell you, I am an Army wife, and when you were talking about that senator that wants to get rid of health care, the TRICARE for families, that is a lot of, you know what, I'm sorry, that is BS, because and we pay a hell of a lot more than just $450 a year. My husband is a reservist.
Right.
His reserve pay is maybe $350 a month, and, you know, depending on how many days he does drill, that basically covers our insurance. So, you know what? Screw him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what I'm talking about, Lisa. It's just the wrong priorities, you know, rather than getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan, which again, huge majority of the American people think we should do. I just wish that, like I say, one of these Republican leaders could get quizzed by a real reporter and say, look, you say that, you know, this is what the American people want. It's why they voted for you. Here's what they want. They want us to get out of, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan. They want us to take care of our people that have served. Because I agree with you, Lisa. That has always been our promise, is to take care of the people that, you know, that have served for us. So,
well, and that's exactly it. I mean, and you know, there's people in the military. I mean, my husband's one of them, and hit people in his unit. They don't want to be over there. They don't want to do the crap that they're doing.
Yeah.
No. You know, they don't agree with what's going on either.
Yeah. Well, you know, rest assured, Lisa, the American people, what they want us to tax the rich. They want us to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
They don't want us to cut Social Security and Medicare or veterans benefits, you know.
Amen.
So, all right. Mm-hmm. Amen, sister. And now, in your honor, I'm going to play I'm Not Lisa again.
Oh,
right.
No. Make the bad lady stop.
This came up earlier today, and I'm not sure why. Oh, because the birther crazy woman yelled out, what did she say? Not for Obama! Thank you, Jesus! I'm Teresa!
Stop playing the song, I'll talk, I'll stay here in Gitmo, I'll name names, just stop playing the song!
This is awful.
Isn't it?
Oh, man.
One of the sappiest.
I like Posey Billy
Joel. Cool and unusual.
My name's
They're getting confessions from Al-Qaeda suspects right now with this.
Oh, you know, the Stephanie Miller Show may have to do a rare apology for an earlier apology.
What? What? If, what?
Well, we were joking because we thought it was, we assumed it was about a guy that yelled out the wrong name during sex. Yeah. That an old.
Right. I'm not Lisa. My name is Julie.
Yes. Yes. But then we had to apologize because you said.
Well, I got an email from someone saying that was about a girl who was molested and ran away from home and had to change her name so her parents wouldn't find her.
What?
To which the Stephanie Miller Show then apologized to Lisa and Julie and anyone else we may have offended. However.
What?
Oh, for the love of God. Somebody emailed you. Anybody with an opposable thumb can email you. From Nicole Sins, right here from Wikipedia, which is unimpeachable.
Have you seen the things Wikipedia says about you?
No,
okay.
I've got to go in there.
All right.
Anybody can edit that crap. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm Not Lisa describes the pain that comes with dating someone who has not gotten over their previous lover. Therefore, the narrator of the song, Julie, laments the fact that her lover keeps mentioning his previous lover named Lisa.
Obviously.
Oh, Chris,
why are we talking about
dope.
This song?
I've never had to do the double axle apology for the apology on the show before.
Maybe it's a song in different layers. There are different layers of meaning.
Maybe we talk about Menudo
or
something?
Not about molestation.
Can we talk about Menudo?
Maybe it was translated from Latvian and badly. Made much more sense.
All right. Okay, let's...
Oh, just open up your veins music and get in a nice warm tub.
Was that kind of music prevalent in the 70s?
It makes Leonard Cohen sound
like
ska.
Like you were here in the 70s.
Well, yeah, but we sang, like, Afternoon Delight and stuff like that.
Okay.
And Billy, don't be a hero.
Don't do it again. See, now we've fallen down the 70s rabbit hole.
Ode to Billy Joe.
That's from the 60s. Well, that's actually a very good song.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. Okay, so anything from the 70s is bad?
No.
Yes.
No, there are some great rock songs in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are a few.
Have we just stumbled into songs with people's names in them? Is that basically the track?
But what you're saying is that any bubblegum pop from the 70s is bad?
Pretty much.
Wow, that's kind of a sweeping statement.
It is the music of my life. How dare you?
What about disco, Jim? There's redeeming disco. Everyone we liked in the 60s tried out disco in the 70s. So.
Including the Rolling Stones.
I like every song. Can I just say one thing?
All the Beatles.
You know I know a lot about music. Any song with Billy in it is good. Billy Don't Be a Hero, Billy Joe McAllister, Billy Jean.
Disco was...
That and Yow, if the word Yow
was funk for white people.
All right. We were going to do Right Wing World here, and now we've fallen down a 70s rabbit hole.
Yes,
and now
we have.
There is no
return. Oh, we held a gun to your head and forced you to play that song again?
A woman named Lisa called, and I'm just saying
I'm not Lisa.
We are responsible journalists here.
That's not my name.
Now, that's a good song.
We have to play Ting Tings. Now, because you brought that up.
We don't have time to play Ting Tings, I'm sorry.
Play Jerry Rafferty. I'm stuck in the middle of you.
Yeah.
Chase that song away.
Baker Street?
I love Baker Street.
I don't like Baker Street either.
I didn't like Baker
Street. This show is a mess. 58 minutes after the hour.
Whose name is on the show?
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
I have no control over this. I'm just saying I'm disappointed.
Hey, Steph, is Right Wing World coming up after the break?
Yes, thank you.
Get on.
Back on track on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. I'm what? Here. Nobody move. Nobody help. Nobody help me. Nobody help me. 6 minutes after the hour.
Mama spilled her wine.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, indeed. Sounds like it.
Fridays with Fugelsang continues apace. John Fugelsang in our New York bureau. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie. Voice deity Jim Ward and me, Stephanie Miller. Uh-oh. Sue in Rockville, Maryland has filed an FCC complaint against us. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Two things. First of all, props, please. Jerry Rafferty died on Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, I mentioned it before.
So we may not love everything he did, but I did like Baker Street.
All right.
And stuck
in the middle. Foo Fighters did a radical cover of that, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, little props there. A little rest in peace.
In the Middle with You is a great song.
That is a great song.
John Lennon said he wished he'd wrote that song.
Then that is definitely high praise indeed. Listen, I know, you know, it's like pornography. I may not always be able to define it, but I know it when I hear it.
Yes.
And that song, Lisa, is indecent.
I know.
Thank
please,
you.
I know.
My
hey,
ears
listen.
Are bleeding.
Thank you.
We didn't foist, you know, what's the name of that song we hate the most, Jim? What's that one that we always get to when we fall
no,
down
you
to the 70s?
A hero?
No, not that one.
Oh, I've never been to me.
Been to me, Sue. We didn't do that to you.
Listen, never call and sing because I am tone deaf and I cannot sing. But I also appreciate good music. And for the love of God, please make it stop.
All right. All right. Right after this one. Tommy Columbus says the show is now in the crapper. Only a matter of time before you get to.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
It's true.
God. Oh, exactly.
Come on.
Heroin, this song is a riot.
One of Lou Reed's favorites.
Yeah. This makes early Leonard Cohen sound like ska.
Actually, that's an idea. Leonard Cohen, ska. Wow.
All right. Hey. We didn't play Mandy. We didn't play any of the... I don't know why we stumbled down the name
songs. Mandy
I'm
is
not
Layla
Lisa.
Next to this song.
I kind of Billy.
I think Mandy, too. That was
I kind of
like
a
Mandy.
Fine song.
That's the...
It's
yeah.
cheesy, but it's
there's
a,
only
it's
one
good
way
songwriting.
To get all the name songs out of our head, and that is some Ting Tings, I think, isn't it? Jim Ward's been trying to.
I like this song a lot.
Song?
Every
oh,
song with Billy is good. Here we go. I keep stalling and keeping it together. People around gotta find something to say now.
Okay.
Back
every come on, so come far. On. Get to the chorus.
Here we
so
go.
Far, it's good.
Yeah. I am Teresa. Thank you, Jesus.
They call me help. They call my name. They call me help.
Yeah.
They call me Jane. That's not my name.
That's not my name.
Not
I'm not
name.
Lisa. Or Julie. My name is Teresa. I'm a birther. Okay. All right.
I'm going to have to go home and listen to like 20 hours of Florence and the Machine to get over this show.
Oh, Dog Days Are Over is a great song.
All they're both albums.
The drumming song? Drummer mm-hmm. song? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, music heads. Let's,
what?
Mike in Austin, Texas has some thoughts for Jim Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Steph. I realize we're all supposed to get all caught up in this feel-good story that is Ted Williams. He's the homeless guy with the
oh,
great voice.
I thought you meant the baseball player.
No, but the great voice that got hired by MSNBC. And
I like the homeless guys when they have special talents. That's heartwarming.
Well, he was a radio guy before he got into drugs and alcohol and hard times, and he's been sober for 2 years.
Mike in Austin says, Steph, I realize we're supposed to all get caught up in the feel-good story that is Ted Williams. Still, I can't help but think of all the drugs and alcohol that Jim Ward must have passed up so he could get to work on time, mistakenly believing that it would somehow lead to high-profile lucrative gigs. What a fool he was. Had he only listened to his inner Lohan, maybe he'd be the one getting offers to do NBA broadcasts and MSNBC promos. But alas, he's stuck working his second banana to a lonely spinster on a fart joke radio show and being the voice of a cartoon newscaster for deranged children. Oh, well, there's always the next life.
Also,
let's correct one thing. Jim does not pour on drugs or alcohol or get to work on time. So let's clear that up right away.
Also, last night, Ted Williams introduced all of the guests that were on the Jimmy Fallon show.
I know. And I saw him on Rachel.
Yep.
He was. She had him read part of the Constitution, which was funny. Oh boy. All right. Alex writes. Did you hear the news, Steph? After the boners, did his little weeping and whatever else he did. He stripped the voting rights of the duly elected members from D.C., Guam, Samoa, and Puerto Rico with their new House rules. Virgin Islands delegate Donna Christensen, whom we love, whom we've had on this show many times, calls the Republican action a very undemocratic way to start the new Congress.
Exactly.
First, they came for the representatives of the little bits of America, said Alex. That's right. And if we don't stand up for Guam, who will speak for us when they come for us?
How about American Samoa? They're big, I hear.
Listen, let's not hearken back to the debate during the primaries, but I thought that I made a point. It was very close between Hillary and Obama at some point. But Samoa voted for Hillary. Mm-hmm. And they, because I thought at some point we were going to have to measure by weight.
You're saying they're throwing their weight around.
Yes. Mm. Yes. They're skinny in the Virgin Islands. They voted for Obama. And I'm just saying, if you had to weigh the delegates from Samoa, they are large. Okay.
That's awful.
Okay. That's true. Pretty offensive.
Samoans are large. They're
the ones you've met are large.
Well, no, actually, they'd be the first ones to tell you that they're larger than most.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right.
I didn't know I was with a bunch of sizists.
All right, it's Friday. Let's do some drunk stack.
Yay!
Cops, drunken burglar gets stuck inside house.
What?
Wait, you're not starting with Boehner?
Nah. Police in Delaware say a man broke into a house, got drunk, couldn't make his way back out, so he called 911 for help.
We know it's not Robert Downey Jr. anymore, so we can laugh.
He was trapped in the home in part because he'd broken into it before. That led the homeowner to change the locks so a key was required, even inside. Police say no one was home. He broke in again through a rear window. He stayed for a few days, drinking 3 bottles of gin and 2 bottles of whiskey. Oof. When he tried to leave, he was too drunk to climb back out.
Beautiful.
Okay. All right.
Wow. 3 bottles of gin is bad enough, but throwing whiskey on top of that.
And this one, because it's from my hometown, Cheektowaga, which is close to, it's up the transit from my hometown of Lackport, New York. Cheektowaga near Tonawanda and Lackawanna.
That's right.
After winning the World Junior Hockey Championship Wednesday with a come-from-behind victory over Canada, Team Russia was taken off an airplane flight Thursday because its players were intoxicated.
Oh, Russians?
Who could have seen that coming?
Russians intoxicated? Really? You don't say.
The team members, who were aged 20 and younger, were shuttled to a hotel to sober up after the Delta flight from Buffalo Airport took off.
What you are saying is true.
Trust me, there is nothing to do in Cheektowaga but drink Jenny Cream Ale, and I say that. Or OV Splits. That's what my whole...
OV what?
It's my entire ute.
What's
Old
it?
Vienna Splits. That's what we drank in high school.
Is
that and Jenny Cream Ale.
Is that
That's
one
what we
drink?
Did. We played hockey and we drank Jenny Cream
OV Ale. OV Splits? Is that one drink or is that... It sounds plural.
No, it's Old Vienna Splits. They were small bottles.
What?
Of Old Vienna beer.
You're weird in upstate New York.
Somebody help me out from up there in Cheektowaga, won't you? You know what I'm talking about.
And along with beef on weck.
Beef on weck and chicken wings. All right, and a little bit of
depressing music.
And a little bit of ND 2020. And there you have my youth. As a,
that and a bottle of second
as a
wolf-like
got a weekend. Catholic child.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Shall we, kids? Here we go.
I tried the OV splits once. I pulled the groin muscle.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah.
No wonder the Goo Goo Dolls sound depressed. They're from Buffalo.
I spent a month there 1 week.
Oh, we love Buffalo.
Jonah Goldberg on the Britt Baer show on the health care.
It is just crazy to talk about the idea that somehow a sweeping new entitlement that is going to add 30 million people to the health care rolls isn't going to cost a lot more money. And if you took the deficit thing out for just a second, no one disputes that it will cost a lot more money in spending and it will cost a lot more money in taxes.
Right.
And that is the argument that Republicans need to be making, that this thing was a crazy expansion of government, and if the green eye shade guys with their pocket protectors and their calculators want to talk about CBO scoring, fine. But this thing needs to be repealed because it's bad for the economy.
CBO, what do they know?
You're nerds with pocket protectors.
They only call it an entitlement when it helps the bottom 98%
exactly.
of the population.
Exactly, by accident.
Tax cuts for billionaires. That's stimulus.
Wow.
By the way, when you watch Bret Baier, do you always think that somewhere a Bob's is missing his big boy statue?
Yes.
By the way, I cannot wait for the first time Republicans cite CBO numbers
right.
to back up something they want. I just cannot wait. All right, Julian Madison with a large Samoan story.
Oh,
hello, Julia.
Oh, dear.
Hi there. It's your official pediatrician. I wanted to back you up on the size of Samoans.
We
talked
about that.
The largest newborn I've ever seen in my life was
wow.
a Samoan baby.
Yeah.
The baby was 14 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I went to USC to college with a Samoan football player, and that was the largest human I'd ever seen in person.
The parents were, dad was maybe 6'8", and mom was well over 6 feet. And I said something about, wow, you know, big baby, and she's just kind of like, eh.
Not for our family. Can we throw this one back? I don't know.
He's a puny Samoan.
Yeah, right.
It was a normal delivery.
All right, thank you, Julia. Yikes.
Ouch.
Wow.
Well, because everything's big if you're that big, you know.
Yeah, whoa. You don't need the shoehorn.
Oh, there you go, getting in the middle of it, John.
Well, you guys converted me.
All right. Jan in Amherst defending Keith Waga. Hi, Jan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, you can do anything. You can criticize my leaders, criticize any Republican that you want, because I know you're going to do it. Mm. But do not criticize my hometown. Okay. Absolutely not.
I'm not criticizing Cheektowaga. You know I love Cheektowaga, only second to Lackawanna and Tanawanda.
It's coming up.
Next to Lockport.
Almost as many Polacks in it as Chicago, and I can say that because I am one.
Well, so
I am one, too. I can out-Polack you any day. I will bitch-slap you with a pierogi.
Won't.
Yes, I will.
I just understand, but I couldn't speak it. Hey, listen, guys, one thing here.
All right.
With the CBO, since you're on the subject.
Uh-huh.
They were completely wrong in their scoring on the Obamacare. It was the only time I know they've been right because they've been wrong about Medicare, because Medicare was only supposed to cost so much. What happened is that they priced
and you can say this because Bush was right about so many things economically.
What was that?
You can say this because Bush was right about so many things economically, but go on.
No, there was just the one. We were only discussing this one for the sake of this discussion.
Oh, this one.
Don't throw him off with stuff that's going to hurt his argument at all. Go ahead.
No, the drug plan actually did work out better than any of the other government programs.
The prescription drug plan that was not paid for?
Well, it was because we're not really...
What? All right.
You were doing some jujitsu on him. He didn't appreciate that.
How's your trickle down going, Pat?
18 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Said you want to walk me home from school. Well, I said,
well, yes, I do.
She said, I don't like spiders and snakes, and that ain't what it takes to love me.
You know, maybe Jimmy Carter got a raw deal and people were just bummed out over the music.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour.
Those are the malaise days.
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Jim, I have a guess the quote for you. Who said, I'm not Lisa. My name is Julie. Lisa left you years ago. My eyes are not blue, but mine won't leave you till the sunlight has touched your face.
Lisa Simpson.
Jesse Coulter.
Yes, you're not supposed to guess.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, Jesse Coulter, who wrote I'm Not Lisa. Jim, who said, she was your morning light, her smile told of no night, your love for her grew with each rising sun. Who said,
Jesse Owens.
No, Jesse Coulter, who wrote I'm Not Lisa in the 70s. Who said, finally, and then one winter day, his hand led hers away, she left you here drowning in your tears, here where you've stayed for years, crying Lisa, Lisa.
Ann Coulter.
No. That could have been, because she was a man then, back in the
70s. Stop it.
Here's a little fun fact we learned about Lisa that we didn't realize. That she is a,
She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
We didn't get that part of the story, Chris.
Hmm?
He wasn't over his old lover, but she left him because she's a slut! She left with some other guy!
Oh, that's bad now?
And Jesse Coulter?
Yes.
Was married to Waylon Jennings.
That's weird.
Well, how about that?
Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, they complain about the expansion of government every day. But yet, the largest expansion of government happened under their watch with the Homeland Security Department.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got to defend North Tonawanda and Tonawanda. My brother-in-law lives up in North Tonawanda.
Yep.
And the beef on a wick is awesome.
Awesome. You got roast beef sandwich on a Kennel Wick roll is what it is.
Wack or wick?
Wick.
Wick.
Yeah, but it's all soaked in grease. So.
Oh, awesome.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it'll kill you later.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, but who cares? I live in the moment.
Don't forget, Reagan grew the government by 61,000 jobs, kids. And it was a good thing he began the Department of Veterans Affairs. So they're both, Reagan and Bush, are our biggest big government presidents of the last 50 years.
More importantly, I have some fun facts about Old Vienna Splits. Ron says, Steph, OV Splits. Old Vienna beer was brewed by Carling O'Keefe Brewery in Canada. OV Splits were 7-ounce bottles sold in select border markets. I grew up near Watertown, New York. I believe most bottles of OV Splits were sold at American Legion bars. I think that's where I spent my high school years. All right.
Wait a minute, you spent your high school years at American Legion bars? Who were you trying to pick up?
John McCain.
I was actually.
My God!
They weren't big on carting in the 70s in upstate New York. I used to go drinking. This is probably not. I probably shouldn't share this.
Share it.
No, please.
Too late now.
When I was a freshman, I was dating Damien, who was a senior, and so I used to. I was 14. I was on the bars drinking with my 17-year-old boyfriend. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Okay.
I thought only old soldiers, like from, back then it was World War I, hung out at American Legion bars.
No. And Catholic wolf children.
Yes.
I remember when Black Jack Pershing told me.
I saw something in the woods that looked like you in World War II.
World War I back then. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Are we still on the air? I feel like going home. Okay.
Yeah, we are. The audience has left. But
yeah, well, what happened to today's show?
Dave in Buffalo wants to stand up for Old Vienna Splits. Hello, Dave.
I missed this show.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Not good.
I have to confront Chris again.
Oh, boy. What?
An OV is a Canadian beer, and a split is a 7-ounce bottle.
What are we talking about on this show?
The advantage is that when you're drinking a 7-ounce beer, it stays cold. You don't have to drink
it.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, my God.
And I drank it because it was dainty and girl-like.
Or you just put a 12-ounce bottle in a koozie and you're fine.
That's before koozies were invented.
Okay.
But I've got a great story for you.
You leave my koozie alone.
What happened here?
Went to Syracuse to pick up a friend at the airport.
Yeah.
And we stop at the convenience store, and we're getting ready to go onto the thruway. So there's a trooper handing out the chits when you get on.
Sure.
And I reach for it, and he yanks it out of my hand, and he goes, pull over. And I turned to look at my wife in surprise, and there's Sue Stillwell in the back seat with a deer in the headlights look on her face and two OV splits handing them forward between the seats. And I'm like, Sue, what are you doing?
All right, Dave. Listen, next time I'm back home in Buffalo, I will go out and you can put your 12-ounce in my koozie if you want.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I feel lost like the Donner Party at this point.
I'm feeling hungry.
Well, all right.
That's because you're not drinking.
Let's return.
Can we repeal OB splits and my name is Lisa? Can we?
Let's return to a right-wing world, which makes a lot more sense. Glenn Beck.
Lisa doing the OB splits.
Glenn Beck on the TV.
I don't believe that the government is out there killing birds and fish with invisible Wonder Woman spy planes. I don't know what's happening. I personally believe it's a normal occurrence.
Oh.
But can I look at you and say, yep, that's what's happening? No! When the University of Madison, Wisconsin comes out with their definitive study, do I believe that? No! Do I believe scientists? No! They've lied to us about global warming!
Oh, my God.
I think we all know what caused it. Snooki's novel came out in the same week. What are the chances?
Snooki is Italian.
How many signs of the apocalypse do you know?
I say it's because of the green evil pigs.
What?
Pardon me? Hmm.
None of you play Angry Birds, do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Only people who play Angry Birds would get that.
Nerd. But there's a few more. There's a few listeners left we can drive away. Let's just What's really embarrassing is Massive Bird Die-Off was the name of my old metal band.
Oh, my God.
It's not as good a name as Jim's Foreskins, his garage band.
No. Right. The Foreskins. See, there were four. Never mind.
I understand. 29 minutes after the hour. We're only talking to ourselves now anyway. It doesn't matter. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
motor.
Stephanie Miller.
Stinks. Hey, leave her alone.
You leave her alone.
Stop making sense.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Phone number 2 for you from anyone. Anywhere. Oh,
yes,
by the way, before we continue, Right Wing World, I totally missed this. So, you know, the CBO report came out, which it says, oh, it made the Republican plan hit a snag to repeal health care in that it... That's the nonpartisan congressional budget office.
Yes.
They just do the numbers and stuff. Showing that the repealing health care would increase the deficit $230 billion right out of the gate. $230 billion.
It is worth pointing out the CBO also said a public option would save us even more and take more off the deficit over 10 years.
Thank you.
So let's keep the flame alive.
So obviously, I said earlier, the boner said, the CBO is entitled to their opinion. And I'm like, what?
Their opinion that Superstore equals four.
What? So I didn't see this, but Jim, you remember their shiny budget? The one, it had really nice graphics and everything.
Graphics and no numbers?
No numbers, really, of any kind. The House Republicans countered with their own report.
Ooh.
We got another one of those things with macaroni and glitter on it and really nice. It's entitled Obamacare, a budget-busting, job-killing health care law, and features on its cover a gate padlocked with a thick chain.
What?
I don't really.
What?
Do they need to explain what that is? But I think the point is it will make the boner cry if we make fun of his project.
Art project.
We'll put that right on the refrigerator, boner. Don't cry. Don't cry. Oh, it's good. Look at that big Joe. That's a chain.
It's good what you've done, Anthony.
It's real good. We love TV night, Anthony.
Tell us about the rabbits again.
No. What?
I don't know. That's a different thing entirely.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have some Savage Wiener, shall we? As we continue right now.
You remember a gentleman named Matthew Shepard who was brutally murdered in the West many, many years ago? How many years they ran that in the media? Mm-hmm. And yet John Wheeler is of no value because he was only a West Point graduate and a distinguished American patriot, so therefore he has no value to the vermin in the media.
What?
What the hell? Why would you bring up Matthew Shepard's death? Okay. Is he talking about the guy that was found in the landfill?
Yeah that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, he said that didn't get any ink, that whole story?
Yeah.
Probably not enough.
Yeah,
I agree with him there.
Why would you? It's like, what, can't both things be important? I don't think we know what caused his death yet. They're still investigating that, whereas obviously Matthew Shepard's death was very...
But he wasn't gay, so they're not talking about it. That's my point.
Okay, all right.
I think that's his point.
Right-wing Velociraptor Andrea Tantaros on Fox and Friends.
Just with the death panels, you see bureaucrats running amok. End-of-life care. You have these agencies making rules and regulations, and now they've got to back off on them. You have bureaucrats running amok.
Ah, are you talking about Jan Brewer? I'm sorry. No, you're talking about the imaginary death panels in the Obama health
plan. For the douche panels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what the opposite of Obamacare is? Pale indifference.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually mocking a president for caring about people. Silly liberal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Steve Doocy, sorry, Jim, on Fox and Friends.
So this idea of reading the Constitution, you know, Robert Byrd would be all for it. Although there are a number of people now on the left who say it's not a good idea.
Yeah, well, this is the whole gimmick.
That's because the left doesn't like, for the most part, the Tea Party. This is a total political hit.
Forget about that. Do they like the Constitution?
Well,
what?
Yeah, you don't like the Constitution if you feel like it's a waste of time to read it on the House floor when we have many pressing problems.
$1 million a day to run the House.
Oh, well, liberals don't like the Constitution. That's the only logical conclusion to draw here.
Yeah, liberals and the libertarians are the ones who point out the Constitution says only Congress can declare war, and we haven't declared war since 1941, part was glossed over yesterday.
By the way, if the Democrats had decided to do this, how quickly do you think the term cheap political stunt would have been used on Fox News to describe, Okay, Dennis Miller on O'Reilly on Nancy Pelosi.
She's a bad dame. And you know what? She is a hack.
Mm.
And I am glad she's out of there. What else is Pelosi going to do now except stay in the House? Because you know something? If Pelosi wasn't the Speaker of the House, third in line to be the President, or second in line to be the President of the United States, whatever it is, there's President, Vice President, her, You know what she would have been? She would have been a realtor out in the San Fernando Valley, pretending to be wide-eyed when you found mold under the sink on the house she was trying to screw you on. And I'm glad she's going back to anonymity. She has no conscience. She'll look you right in the eye, and guess what? You'll blink first, because she's blinking every 3 seconds.
Well, she can't blink with all the stuff she's got in her forehead.
God, I can't get
a kick in there, Billy.
If you're just tuning in, that was Dennis Miller talking about being a hack and going back to anonymity.
Yeah.
And making really, really, I've never heard a Botox joke before. That is wowee, okay.
That's current.
And by the way, some of my best friends are realtors in the Valley. Screw you, Dennis Miller! All right, that concludes our Right Wing World today.
You know, the funniest part about Dennis Miller on O'Reilly is when O'Reilly doesn't get the jokes and steps on all the punchlines.
Yeah. And then he tries to help by making another very current Botox joke.
Punchlines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, see, we're all old enough to remember Dennis Miller was funny.
Yeah.
When Rick Overton wrote for him.
Exactly.
Yes, mm-hmm. Our good friend.
Before the dark times.
Speaking of awesome chicks from California, Barbara Boxer took the first swing. You do not want to get into a fight with Barbara Boxer. How many times must I tell you? Yeah.
I do guess he wants a fight.
Do you, Carly? You don't want to fight, do you?
And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
So, yesterday, to fight with Barbara Boxer. She took her first swing at her new House counterpart on environmental issues, calling out Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Fred Upton over his plans to stymie the Obama administration's global warming and air pollution rules. She said, I believe what Chairman Upton has indicated he wants to do, which is essentially stop all progress on this front, is against the law. She said she'd use press conferences and other public forums to highlight the potential political peril for Republicans who go after the EPA's rules that are directly tied to protecting public health. She said, I want to tell him that I will use every single tool available to me as chairman of this committee and as senator from California to oppose any legislative efforts that threatens the health or safety, the well-being of the people of this great nation. He's planning an early series, by the way, of hearings on Obama EPA rules that target power plants, petroleum refiners, other major stationary industrial sources. He's also said he's considering legislation that would stop the agency's efforts until a series of lawsuits have been resolved. Representative Shelley Moore Capito, Republican of West Virginia, introduced a bill that would delay EPA climate regulations for 2 years. She said, I will do anything, whatever I can, to put a stopgap on this power grab.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Oh, dear God. Dear, dear God. All right.
Yep. Climate change is a sinister, evil conspiracy by the entire world scientific community to hurt profits a little bit by reducing pollution.
Yeah.
Exactly.
God, they figured it out. Damn. Damn you teabaggers.
By the way, you thought you called McCain Flipper during the campaign. McCain supports Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. What?
Gulp.
Huh? He's what?
They call him Flipper.
Yes.
He read the polls again.
Yeah. Just a couple weeks ago, you might recall, he was a very vocal opponent of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So now he's trying to...
It's not the policy. It is the policy. It's not the policy. It is the policy.
My mother, my sister.
It isn't not the policy.
He said now he will do everything he can to make sure the policy change to allow gays to serve openly in the military is a success.
There you go.
Uh-huh. He said, I think...
And he tweets with Snooki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he does. He does do that.
Oh, my
God.
I think I have to do everything I... He said, I think I have to do everything I can to make sure the impact on morale, retention, recruitment, and battle effectiveness is minimized as much as possible. Oh, I see. He's the buffer that's going to... I see.
Good for him.
He said, it's the law. I've got to do whatever I can to help the men and women who are serving, particularly in combat, cope with this situation. It's a situation.
The situation.
And Snooki. Yes.
It's just like... I don't know what it's like. It's like too many sequels. I don't know. Wow.
Yes.
It's just, I can't even joke about the guy anymore. It's like mocking the handicapped.
I really think he's losing his marbles. I think
it's like watching pets die. It's just horrible.
No.
Oh, John.
I'm saying, what?
All right. Oh, by the way, here's some breaking news. Jerry, Right Wing Jerry in Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, our very personal favorite.
Yeah,
we like him.
He is a good man. Well, yes. He's called to argue with us many times, but he's a man of his word. He sent me a $20 bill because he made some bets with me again that he lost for the midterms.
For the election?
Oh, what's that?
For the election?
Yes. Aww. He said there's no way Barbara Boxer will win in California, and there's no way Harry Reid will be reelected in Nevada. And so he owed me $20 and 10 cents, and he included the 10 cents.
Why the 10 cents?
I don't know. Apparently that's what the bet came to there.
Oh.
I did lose Illinois on Kirk. What's his name? Mark Kirk. Enjoy.
Right.
And then,
okay.
It's one of my very rare losses. Anyway, but Jerry's very... Steph, sorry, a little slow on the payment owed. You knew I wasn't going to welch on you, though, blah, blah,
aww,
blah. Anyway. And Jerry, it was very touching, if you recall, back during the Don't Ask, Don't Tell debate. He called in, and his sister killed herself because she was gay. And he called in to say he was wrong about some things and felt regret and whatever. And it was... we're bestest friends now.
Yep.
And he sent a number of... he sent me all kinds of swag and... other
from
things.
Where he works, yeah.
Oh, we love us, right wing Jerry. We really do. Let's talk to a right wing love muffin. Jerry in Chicago.
Play some song or something and make me sound like an idiot.
Jerry.
Oh, that's really cute.
Jerry in Chicago. Jerry.
So smoky and so funny.
Jerry in Chicago. Jerry. Right wing Jerry is awesome.
Love that guy.
I'm a right wing tool.
Jerry. Jerry.
If I can just say two words, everybody, all of Stephanie's listeners, if you want truth, Savage Nation.
Threw up in my mouth a little bit.
No, seriously, Steph, I need to ask you something. You have such a problem with Sarah. I just wonder, were you molested as a child?
Jerry! Right wing Jerry is awesome.
Love that guy.
I'm a right
hours
wing
of fun.
I find it interesting, you liberals. You love to throw around, you know, how nasty this campaign is getting. And then you guys play clips like that.
See what you did there? You played some song. Man, sounds stupid.
I had to pull that from the archives.
Yeah.
Anybody watching on Ustream could see me searching furiously
by the way,
for that.
Jerry also says that Cedarside stuff is awesome. Why? Cedarsidestore.com. Thank you, Jerry. He's even...
You're soaking in it.
Can I just say this is going to be a good weekend for me?
Why?
Sleep Chain in San Francisco sent Mama Dom Perignon champagne. Woohoo!
Nice. We love Sleep Train.
Oh, we love them even more now.
It's your ticket to a better night's sleep.
Thank
champagne
you.
Champagne can help too.
I seriously love my Sleep Train beds. I have them in two different bedrooms, and I love them. Love them, love them, love them.
And that bottle of champagne will last Steph the whole drive home.
And by the way, where's all my other gifts from sponsors? I expect a car in my garage from Cedarside later today. Now that I'm getting gifts from my sponsors for... Oh, by the way, we also have to thank Mephisto. You look fabulous in your new shoes.
Yes.
Mephisto Great Lakes.
Yes.
One of our fine Chicago sponsors. Your shoes look... This is what a pain in the ass I am.
Yeah.
I had to call them to exchange my free shoes.
I'm surprised you didn't have me do that.
Because I love my shoes, but they didn't fit, so now they're exchanging them. Mm-hmm. We thank you,
and
Mephisto!
Those were the shoes they had to send away to Italy for.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'm exchanging them, and they're very, very kind.
No,
the good people out there.
I love
Mephisto Great
my
Lakes.
Shoes.
Yeah. They're so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the waning moments of Fridays with Fuel Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bye bye. Bye bye. We're thriving. Bye. Hiding.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, boy. Welcome to it.
Wow. I like the sexy leprechaun voice.
Yeah. And the good thing is this is the most coherent segment we've had so far today.
Yeah, so far.
I'll say.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget Monday, the Rude Pundit, Eric Bollard of Media Matters, and, of course, Mondays with Edie McClurg. Fabulous. All right. So we've been talking about this morning. President Obama named Bill Daley as his new chief of staff, the president, yesterday.
Today, I am proud to announce the appointment of an experienced public servant, a devoted patriot, my friend, fellow Chicagoan, Bill Daley, to serve as my chief of staff.
John, we talked about this earlier. You know, obviously, this is once again one of those things that split. Howard Dean last night, thrilled about the choice. He went on Rachel Maddow's show. She's not thrilled with the choice. It's one of those, like you said, he's a Clinton guy. It's seen as a centrist move.
He's going to get reelected for it, yeah.
It brought howls of protest from the left where advocates, Rachel called it hippie punching.
Right.
Where advocates question his insider ties to Wall Street's centrist and business leaders rallied around the move. You know, the president framed it as the economy is the number one concern, and he said, I'm convinced he'll help us in our mission of growing the economy. He, on the good side, he managed Al Gore's campaign. On this bad side, he helped get the NAFTA.
In fact, he's the one that came out and said Al Gore is not conceding. If you remember
that. I know.
That was him.
I know. Mm-hmm. Obama yesterday.
I'll be making further announcements in the days and weeks ahead.
One liberal advocacy group said, why in the world is President Obama selecting his chief of staff, a person who comes from the very Wall Street that wrecked the economy? Well, I don't know if that's fair to lay the whole thing at Bill Daley's feet.
No, but the rap on Obama is that he hates big business, and even though everything he's done has been slavishly devoted to big business, he still gets the rap anyway, right down to a watered-down financial reform. So this is another peace offering to big business saying, I'm serious about being reelected. Let's make it happen.
You know, Howard Dean said, let's give him a chance. You know, you can't say there's more of a progressive in our party than Howard Dean, and he just, he thought it was unfair to say, you know, because we don't know exactly what he thinks about each and in every one of those issues, but
Obama needs the moderates in 2012.
Yeah,
so we're punching hippies.
His selection sends a clear signal. Obama tends to govern and campaign from the center. But Jim, as you and I have talked about, isn't that what he's always done? I don't get that he's really portrayed himself any other way. Bill Daley yesterday.
You, Mr. President, have proven your strength, your leadership, your vision during a most difficult time for our nation and for the world. You have also shown through your example that public service is an honorable calling, and I am pleased to answer your call.
So let's go celebrate and have an Italian beef.
Let's go down to the Billy Goat Tavern.
The Billy Goat
Tavern.
Down the Billy Goat Tavern.
Yeah.
Down in Lower Michigan.
I hear they have a hell of a burger. Just saying.
A cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. Pepsi.
Senator Mitch.
No Pepsi. Coke.
Senator Mitch McLiplis.
I used to say the last 2 years, I don't know what is technically true or not, but that there was nobody down at the White House who'd ever even run a lemonade stand. You know, they were all college professors and former elected officials. This is a guy who's actually been out in the private sector, been a part of business. Frankly, my first reaction is, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, that's a bad
Mitch
sign.
Mitch McConnell likes it.
That's a bad sign if Mitch McConnell likes it. Yeah, it's a little hard when Mitch McConnell and Howard Dean like something. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. We have to remember, folks, NAFTA screwed a lot more kids than NAMBLA.
Hey, John Bugle sang with the tip in at the end of the show.
I'm here for the next 4 minutes.
Wow. Are you, speaking of celebrity stack, are you watching this Michael Jackson's doctor? It's not a trial yet, right? It's a hearing?
Mm-hmm. A pre-trial hearing.
No, it reminds me, it's very sad, but it reminds me of that scene in Airplane. Apparently, while Michael Jackson was, when he was in the bedroom and the bodyguards came in, mm-hmm. apparently the doctor said, does anyone here know CPR?
What?
Oh, my God.
Well, if you don't, then it's like
trust me, I have a white lab coat.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, does anyone here know how to fly a plane? All right. Betty White joked on SNL recently that Facebook seemed like a huge waste of time.
Yes.
Turns out she wasn't kidding. She said, that was a line that was written for me. I didn't know what Facebook was, and I still don't. So we're at just about the same level.
Yeah.
I didn't.
She may be better off.
You had to show me how to get to my Facebook page.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do that.
Well, since the taxpayers now are paying for Facebook, since Goldman's investing in it with our bailout money, it's a good time to learn about it.
I do know that I'm on Stitcher, John, and I think that should be impressive to you.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Next you'll be on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Wow.
By the way, stop sending me this LinkedIn requests. I'm not joining your LinkedIn whatever thing.
You can link me out.
MySpace is trying to get me back, and I keep saying I don't belong to a crappy band. I can't go back to MySpace.
Boy.
Yeah, even Rupert Murdoch's getting out of MySpace.
Oh, boy. Well, now this is going to ruin Mel Gibson's reputation.
Uh-oh, what?
Oksana Grigorieva.
I ain't saying she a gold digger.
TMZ reporting that she testified under oath that whenever Mel's a little Nazi soldier refused to do the Hitler salute, he'd whoop her ass. That he'd beat her during sex.
In fairness, she could make my Nazi soldier go underground to the bunker, too.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, now she's like a greedier octomom.
Now he's a bad guy. Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow was asked which of her male co-stars was the best kisser, and she said Tom Cruise.
Really?
A little cameo in Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
She got to make out with Tom Cruise.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And how did she get into character for Country Strong? She was asked, you just get really drunk all the time. Maybe the same thing you do when you have to make out with Tom Cruise. I'm just saying.
Oh. Maybe the same thing you do for preparation for the Stephanie Miller show.
Exactly. That was going, oh, my God, me too. Maybe I can win an Oscar for this at some point. Oh, boy, and this the sad news, but didn't shock anyone. The will Elizabeth Edwards signed, no mention of John Edwards in there, which I think.
Yeah, but the rumor today is that he's going to marry Riel Hunter.
That's what I heard today.
Really?
I heard
and
that.
What do you wear to the wedding? I recommend a noose.
All right. Thank you, John Fugelsang. JohnFugelsang.com is the website. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show. Hi.